Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hello there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, good to see you once again.
Likewise.
This week, continuing kind of a difficult discussion, but very needed.
Yep.
What happens when we become disabled or incapacitated? And that term we hear a lot, the power of attorney. Who has the power of attorney? Who takes over if someone is found to be in an incapacitated state?
Yeah, a lot of different questions surrounding this topic. It's actually very confusing. And there's a lot of things that we've heard or things that we've assumed, which unfortunately, those are the things that possibly get us in trouble, that make the experience that much more difficult. And so my hope over the past couple of weeks, as we've started this topic, is to give some insight with what are some of the proper things to plan, what do we need, and then also just trying to bring things to people's attention so that we can give thought to it. See, if we don't start a plan, then we have no place to go. And we are going to be the victims of whatever happens instead of being proactive, being engaged, and having a solution before the issue ever arises. I mean, look, we use car insurance all the time. We pay it monthly. And it is for that rare occasion that something might go wrong, whether someone hits us. I was just driving yesterday with my wife, and it was a little bit wet outside, and cars were backed up. The guy next to me decided not to stop and just plowed into somebody behind.
And you watched it.
Yep, I did. I saw it. I just saw it unfold, and I said, he's not stopping, and bam, bam, bam. So that person, I hope, has car insurance. I hope they have a plan. And I hope that the plan isn't something that they just did the cheapest plan for. Rather, that they've done their homework, they've investigated it, and that indeed, when this incident took place, that they are well prepared. It's already a tough situation. It's a tough situation on the people that that person hit, which then that person hit another person. And so we've got multiple people who are already in the throes of just one accident. Well, there's going to be multiple people in the throes of an incident if you need assistance in your lifetime. And unfortunately, what I just find is that I get it. People don't like to talk about these issues. We don't like to talk about dying. But I'm here. I watch families go through this all the time. Dying is easier than this topic.
Right.
This topic is the most difficult topic that we have, which is I need to make a plan. I need to be proactive. I need to be insured that I know exactly what would take place if these different incidences arose in my life, and I don't want me to be the catalyst of other people just simply making stuff up, trying to do what's in my best interest. And so that is not the time to try to make a plan. That's emergency. That is going to cost more. It is financially difficult. It is an emotional toll already on everyone around you. And now there's added pressure to make the right decision. So my whole purpose of these past couple shows, and you can go over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. The previous podcasts are there. Please go and listen to the fullness and the progression that we've taken over these shows. And we're probably not going to finish this week. We'll probably need another week. So stay engaged in this discussion. It's too critical. But at some point, we have to take our heads up from the fears that we have, and we have to look at the issue face to face, and we have to start creating a plan.
Yeah, you've said, though, well, not even half of the population has a will. I would think even less has plans about this particular incident.
Yeah, and the problem is that if you've gotten something offline, if sometimes you've used an attorney, and those documents get older and older as time goes by. And so some people even do have a plan, but yet that plan is outdated. this document's not going to save you. What's going to save you, and what's going to save, and really not you, but the family, the members, the spouse that has to take care of you, the family members that have to take care of you and carry the emotional burden of now caring for somebody. A document's not going to save the day. And I talk about this all the time in all of my shows. The document doesn't magically grow arms, legs, and start performing the acts. The document is only a guideline to empower somebody. The question, though, is how educated and how ready is the person that you've empowered? Are they ready to face this issue? Do you have a contingency plan? Okay, so for example, have you as a listener, so I'm going to be a little more personal, you can take it directly to you. Have you looked at other facilities now when you don't need them, you're healthy, you can think straight? Have you looked at other facilities to say, if there comes a time that I need assistance and I cannot live in my home, I cannot take care of myself, then these are the top couple facilities that I would like you to consider, and here's why. I have met so few people.
Yeah.
The percentages are astronomically low.
Do they think they're going to be able to stay in their house till they die?
Well, that's what our hope is, mm-hmm. and we think, again, that this is just going to happen. And again, I get it. This is a horrible topic to be talking about, but that's why it has to be talked about. That's why we have to face this. That's why we have to be considering what are the practical steps. And that's what my hope is. I want to give you some practical steps for you to look at and consider so that the person who has to make these ultimate decisions for you has a guideline and a roadmap, and it makes their life easier. So there's just one practical issue is, have you looked at other places, other facilities? Have you done your research, and have you been educated to what services are out there and where you would like to be taken care of? I know, I get it. I know you want to be taken care of at home. I get it. And I know that you're concerned about the cost. I get it. Put all of those fears aside and create a plan. And then at least with that, that gives your providers, those who are going to assist you, whether it's a spouse, a child, or outside individuals, at least it gives them a greater insight to understand how you think, what you want. And if that particular facility may not have the availability to take you in, then at least we have a framework of what you wanted and why. And so the documents are a great start. They are not the end. Mm. They're not going to ultimately do what is necessary. Now, I want to take a peek at Romans real quick, because I think this is such a critical issue that, and it's, I don't want to be discussing these things and not add a brief element of faith, because in talking about this, it is not supposed to be anti-faith. It is supposed to be in addition to. And I want to look at one of my favorite passages. Mark, you're going to appreciate that I've been here quite a bit of times on my radio show, which is Romans 4, and taking a look at Abraham. And it says in Romans 4, 19, that Abraham, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, because he was about 100 years old, and neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what was promised, God was also able to perform. So I want to go all the way back here, because this is a really critical step, I think, in our journey of faith. And it really ties in to this topic, which has been my encouragement so far, which is verse 19 again. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body. That word considered means to intently look at and analyze. You know, faith is not putting your head in the sand. It is actually lifting your head up and analyzing the situation that is before you and making a proactive choice to say, but God's promise is this for me. And I have fully analyzed my circumstance. I have given keen attention to it. I have looked up and down, front and back. That is not ignoring the situation. It is actually completely the opposite. I've reviewed it in totality and intensely, and I am going to make a decision to trust God. So that's what this is talking about. And so I want to encourage you that a part of our faith, the journey, is actually intensely understanding the circumstance that we are in and making a proactive choice to say, but I am going to turn my face towards the one who is absolute, beautiful love, because he's got a solution for me. And so in like manner, ignoring these issues is actually a step away from faith. It does not engage faith. If we can intently look at our circumstance and make a plan of attack, that, in my opinion, is actually the beginning start and the beginning steps of enacting faith. It is not a step away from faith. And so therefore, like Romans 4:19 is encouraging you, just like Abraham did, intently look at your circumstance. In other words, analyze what are the possibilities and be ready and make a plan and then turn your face towards God and say, but God, you are going to give me the wisdom and understanding to make appropriate choices for myself. And it's not just yourself. It's for those who are going to need to come alongside of you and assist. If you don't want to do this for yourself, do it for those who are going to need to help you. And so, a little bit off of our notes of what we had at all in here, which
it
is not
occasionally.
Not completely untypical of me, but maybe you can hear in my voice the passion that is coming across for us to do what is necessary as Christians. And what is necessary is to look intently at our circumstance, look at the possibilities, and say, I am going to create a plan and I'm going to apply faith to that plan because I've received that plan from the Holy Spirit. And so that's my encouragement here at the beginning of today's show. We need to lift up our head and deal with difficult topics. We need to deal with these. So let's talk, unfortunately, as we come back at a break, let's talk a little bit more about this issue of being incapacitated. What do we need? What do documents need to align with? And so, but we're up against a break right now.
Okay, well, if people are listening today and are very encouraged and they do want to look at this and maybe work out a plan with you and your services, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We have educational shows coming up. We've got a way to communicate to us. And we also have past podcasts. I've already mentioned that. Head over. There's a couple discussions about this topic that lead into today's. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And your co-host Mark Holland and Paul Grant are discussing kind of a difficult subject this week, last few shows actually, what to do if you become disabled or incapacitated and getting into the documents you need. We always hear this term powers of attorney, and you're going to discuss that now, Paul.
And really the first part of this show was me encouraging you to take steps because of the individuals who need to use this document. So who helps you when all of a sudden you are unable to manage your own life? So what does it mean to be incapacitated? I use the word disabled because incapacitated is a limiting assumption. It means that we can't think properly. There's something going on. But I've ran into multiple situations where clients are unable to manage themselves due to great physical issues, but they're mentally fine. Mm. So if you can't hold a pen anymore, how do you sign a check? Mm. Well, you need somebody to step in and assist you manage your financial affairs if you are unable to use a keyboard and log into accounts, or if you can't write a check anymore. So mm-hmm. that is not a mental, quote unquote, incapacitation. It's more of a disability. Now, we're not talking about work disability here.
Right.
We're not talking about SSDI. We're not talking about those who may have been born with their disability. We're talking about that you have managed your life and now there is an incident, typically a health incident, that comes along.
For instance, a stroke.
Yeah, could, mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. And something like that could end up being long-term mm-hmm. or it could be short-term.
Right.
But for one reason or another, you need help. So that is my term of disability.
Or maybe a progressive illness like MS or Parkinson's.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All of those. Or it could mean memory issues, which mm-hmm. could be progressive. There could be individuals who get diagnosed with Alzheimer's and it's very progressive and it's very fast. And so all of these different situations mean you need help. So that's my term. Mm-hmm. That's my definition of disability. Mm-hmm. So what do we need? Well, first of all, we have to have legal documents. We have to demonstrate who we want to manage our lives at that point in time. So there's two major documents that now take over. Now, notice how I said that there's two major documents because a lot of powers of attorney are combined into one. I don't like it because these are different statutes by law that we're looking at. Mm. So those two is number one, a financial power of attorney, and second, a healthcare power of attorney. And so I don't like those being combined. I like them being separated. For example, most financial powers of attorney are springing in nature. So in other words, they spring into action upon a certain event. That event is typically that you need assistance. So therefore, if my health care is wrapped up within that springing power of attorney, then my health care is not enacted in the same document until there is an event that I am disabled. But yet we have to take care of your health just to get you looked at by doctors oftentimes. So I like two different documents. I want documents that will provide individual authority instead of broad general authorities. Many documents I look at are very rudimentary. They're very basic. In essence, they say, just give all my power to somebody. Well, I have experienced as an attorney that is very problematic, actually.
Now, why is that?
Yeah, you would think because so I'm going to pick on banks. And so if you work at a bank, I'm very sorry, but you probably already know this, is that if you take a power of attorney that is more than 3 years old, number one, it's going to be more scrutinized by the bank and less accepted. So in other words, they're going to have questions about the continued validity of that document. And if you think about it, number one, are banks there to protect you? Absolutely no. Their job is to protect themselves.
Right.
So number one, if they have an old document, their thought process is, how do I know that this is the last signed document and that it's still valid? And so they're going to send it to their mysterious attorney or their mysterious counsel, which they don't have. And so it's a way to buy time. They're going to send it someplace and they're going to review whether it is going to be accepted by them or not. Now, if it's not accepted because it's too old, because they can't, because they're uncomfortable with it, there's a whole process you can do to force them to accept it, but that's very, very costly. So number one is that the first thing in really assisting the people who are going to assist you is have current, up-to-date, strong powers of attorney. And again, my opinion is I want separate powers of attorney. Now, not only is the time issue a problem, but banks, and this has actually happened to my clients, okay? I have had phone calls to my law office because of this issue. It is almost unimaginable, and I know that this is not going to sound right, but this has happened, which is a document that says, I give all authority to the person. A bank has literally called my office. Now, this was not my document, so because I don't use that type of language, but they've called my office to say, how do we know that this includes banking authority? Well, what part of all authority do you not understand?
Right.
So this is the world we live in. What I find to be more accepted and, in my opinion, a better document is to have a document, even though it's going to be more pages, but specifically lists out your authorities under law, the ones that we believe and know that you're going to use, such as banking laws, such as a power of attorney for banking. So in your power of attorney, does it specifically address the law concerning banking? And if not, then my suggestion or what my concern for you would be is that that power of attorney is too general, and it might, I'm not saying it will, I'm just saying it might cause undue delay. It might cause undue expense. And the person who is trying to assist you is the one left holding this bag of tricks going, I don't know what to do next. Mm. And so now, in a stressful situation already, there's more stress because the documents haven't been updated, because they're general documents that you either got offline, please don't do that, or they were created in a general scope, meaning it has very broad language. If you look at your own power of attorney, as a matter of fact, play this game with yourself, go get it, and set it down on the counter and look, are there healthcare language and financial language in the same document? That's a general power of attorney. We don't want it. We want something more specific and more aligned. So one of the first steps that you can do in helping those who are going to need to help you is to have your proper estate planning documents in line. So having the proper powers of attorney. So we have financial. They need to be very specific. It needs to be towards banks, financial institutions, powers to sue, to deal with governmental entities, to pick up mail, to there's a host of things, to deal with IRAs, to make IRA elections for you, to sell property. So there's a myriad of different things that there should be very specific powers given in a financial power of attorney. We know what they are. And so my theory is that in this area, a longer document is actually better. Short and sweet is not the flavor of the day when we're talking about a financial power of attorney. Now, healthcare power of attorney is typically a little more aligned. So we're dealing with a doctor. A doctor is going to look at that. They're going to review it. They feel comfortable in saying, okay, fine, I'm allowed to listen to your voice. And so, again, a different part, a different statute, but we have that ability. Another one is a mental health power of attorney, which very, very few I see. I see very few.
I've never heard of that.
But healthcare is meant for things that we can fix, touch, operate on, and those types of things. But if you need mental health, which is something in my thought life or something in my emotional life is not aligning well, then we need a mental health power of attorney. Why? Because it's a different statute again. And that may be an independent issue than your health, but it aligns with different language and different questions. And so a HIPAA authorization, so you can access medical records. Again, we don't want incapacitation language on those. We want access to medical records quickly without further permissions or doctor intervention. So there's multiple documents that you need to have, and they need to be updated in order to really assist the person who is going to take care of you. And these documents lend your voice to naming the right person. Maybe someone is really good with finances, but would be really poor decision maker in health emergencies or vice versa. They don't have to be the same person. We can align people with their greatest skills and get the right people. We need good healthcare documents. So head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past shows. There's ways to get in touch with us. We would love the opportunity to sit down with you, do a review of what you have, and make sure that this first step to assist you when you need help is in order.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney, legacyandfaith.com again for more details. And obviously not quite exhausted this subject this time. We will
be back.
Continue it next time here. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.